morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's so good to see you. It's a beautiful Lord's Day and summery day and great. It's just great to be in the Lord's house. Great to be among God's wonderful people here at Porter. Thank you for being here and hope that the Lord will bless you and guide you and direct you into good things today as we worship together. I want to share with you a couple of lines here from Psalms 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains can be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the stream wherein shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He is here to help us today. Help us through the things that we have to be faced with this coming week as he equips us and strengthens us in the Spirit. Let us praise him and worship him for it.
For him to worship this morning, going to be number 167, first and last verse, and Benny will have a prayer. That's all I said.
So thankful that we have this privilege and the joy and opportunity to come once again together as a church family. We could say with the psalmist David, I was glad when they said, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. It's always good to come together with God's people and to praise you and to encourage one another. So we're thankful for each person present here today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will look into our lives and you'll minister to us through the word, through the singing, and through the preaching, Heavenly Father, that if we need guidance, you'll give that to us. If we need encouragement, well, we'll gain that. But Heavenly Father, help us to be strengthened in our walk with Christ, that as we go forth from this place today, that this coming week, that we'll live stronger lives because we've come to serve you and to honor you and to seek you today. So we're thankful for each one present. We pray, Heavenly Father, a special blessing upon each one here today. Pray for those who are not here with us, dear Heavenly Father, for various reasons. Some are not able to be here. We pray for strength and health for them. Others, Heavenly Father, for various reasons, we pray that the Holy Spirit would direct and guide them and deal with the issues there. And so now, Heavenly Father, forgive us where we fall short and help us. Our desire right now, Heavenly Father, as we come together here is to honor you, to praise you, and draw close to you and you close to us, and to seek your way and your will in our lives. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, use number 170, first and last verse. Mm-hmm.
my Lord.
Anything taking place that anybody wanted to share coming up this week in the community, neighborhood, or anything? No, we'll just turn to our prayer list then. And we talk a lot about our prayers and the expectation of our prayers. And, you know, sometimes I think we kind of pray idly. But we ought to always pray expecting, if possible. Paul says, expecting, and that good results will come. And we see that. And so Omer's here this morning. And I think that's because of the fact that the expectation of hearing from God and seeing God work on our, and answering our prayers. He thought that they were going to have to do more than they did. He thought he was going to have to stay in the hospital overnight. He didn't. And I can personally say in myself that I went into it with expectations, and things were better. And I think that's the same way happened to you. You went in expecting things to work good for you, and even though they said that you might have to spend the night in the hospital and might have to do something else, and you didn't have to do those, and that's the way God works. And so we're so thankful. And isn't it good to see Homer here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Had this operation done Friday, and we just anticipated good things happening for him, and a good quick healing. Wayne is absent from us this morning, not feeling quite well, so continue to keep Wayne in our prayers, and we don't have him on our list here, but keep him in your daily prayers, and a lot of folks we don't have on our prayer list, but hopefully that you have on your daily prayer list, and pray for them, and earnestly, and again, expect good things to happen for those people. And as we pray for the congregation and so forth, and daily and so forth, we expect to hear good things happening. And Donna's back with us today. She wasn't able to be here last week and had some problems with her hips and so forth. And Pauline's over here. She went to the doctor and got a little help there, and things are looking up for her. And so we're so glad that that's helping her. We just pray that it will continue to help you. And so just look around and see the folks that what's happening in their lives and pray for them and expect good things to happen. And God sure does work in a wonderful way. Who else we got on here? But anyhow, keep this list before you and continue to pray. And I know that your prayers does wonderful things, and so keep praying for one another. There's Vernon back there. He's here with us today, and he's like some of us, you know, have good days and bad days and so forth. And so we're glad he's got a good day today and here with us. And Doodle, as we talked about him, he's doing better with his hip and so forth there, and the doctor's working with that until they have told him to do certain things. And he was telling me this morning how it relieved him of some of the problem he had. And so it's just great to hear those kind of things, you know, and to hear that God is working in your lives and that you're advancing because of that. And so it's so great. So continue to pray for one another and pray that God will bless you. Pray for this community out here. Pray for our soldiers, our service people. Pray for the president and all the people in the political line. We know that we need some shaking up. We need some stirring up. We need some people to kind of be hit in a way that they'll wake up and listen to what God has to say. And we just pray that they will do that. We pray for the care homes and the hospitals and nursing units and so nursing staffs and so forth that cares for people. Isn't it wonderful just to have the good care that they give to our people to in their needs and so forth. But so pray for them, and pray for this each and every one as we come to our prayer time. God is so good, and God is willing to help us, and we just need to trust Him and depend on Him and come to Him and seek Him. And don't make Him our last resort. Let's make Him our first resort. And if we will do that, we won't have to go to many last resorts. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him for it.
Now, for prayer, we're using number 217, first and last verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. That's all I'm saying. Invitation hymn be number 345, and this time the choir brings special.
Oh, I will rise, remember in the old past.
Thank you, Kathleen and Choir. Thank you very much. That's what we need to get back to the old-fashioned way. Old-fashioned religion, old-fashioned ways. Things are changing. Well, we're talking about heaven this month. And the second in the series this morning is, as you see in your bulletin there, is what will heaven be like? And someone asked me why I changed this, because I was moved to talk about heaven because of all the controversy that's taken place and all the things that, you know, ever so often things arise and they get the writers get a little bug to write about things and so forth. And a lot of things are being written about heaven today that are not so. And a lot of stories now is resurfacing about people who has been in heaven and come back and telling what it is and so forth. And if you're reading many of those, they sure don't match the scriptures and so forth. So I was moved to talk about heaven because I think maybe possibly we've lost the view of heaven. And if we really could grasp the beauty of heaven, it should change our lives here. And hopefully we'll see that as we go through some of these in the next week or so. Get a new vision, a new look at heaven, and so forth. So I hope it. I can't explain what heaven's all about. John couldn't do a real good job of that. He said so, and how could I then think that I could? But I hope just to stir your minds up a little bit and get you to thinking about heaven. You know, I'm thinking about going home, and it might not be too far off, and because the Lord may come any time. A while back, I thought maybe I'd be going home sooner than I thought, but now I've got a new lease on life, and I'm going to continue on, and I'm looking for the Lord to come and take us all to be that place called heaven. But we hear so much about people who have died and gone there and so forth, and it's causing a lot of misunderstanding, and it's causing a lot of people to put faith in what they say and not what the Bible says. And therefore, there is a lot of mixed emotions about it. And so we ought to look at what God says, and we ought to get some meaning of what heaven is according to the scripture and not what some says. We have a number of people, you know. Someone says, you know, people who believe in heaven and look forward to heaven are happier people. And I believe that to be true. And then also we have a report out now that all these surveys, and I don't know, I forget now who did this survey, but they say now that people who believe in heaven, the number is down from what it was a century ago. It used to be a while back, there was 85% of the people you'd ask, they believed in heaven and believed they was going there. And now I hate to say it's down to 68%. People now that really, if you ask them that, believe in heaven. And a lot of that is because of the things that have been taking place and what has been said about heaven. And when you give some thoughts and when you talk about heaven and you say things that just seem unreal or can't be or so forth, it causes people then to not be concerned about it, or think as Stephen Hawking says, it's a fairy tale. And Stephen Hawking, if you know who he was one of the great atheists, you know. And so he says it's a fairy tale. And so we have a lot of people telling some of these things, and it does seem like fairy tales. But heaven is very real, as we talked about last week. It's a place, it's very real. And one day, God's people are going to go there. So we have some saying, you know, that what heaven is, what it's not. Crystal McVie claimed to have died for 9 minutes. And when she opened her eyes, she didn't see the doctors and so forth. What she saw, rather, was heaven. And her image of heaven had angels and God and images, and she couldn't explain, she says. And she goes on to say, I remember just closing my eyes, and when I opened them, then I was standing in the most beautiful tunnel of light, you know. And we have those folks that talks about seeing lights and tunnels of lights and so forth. Have another guy here that talked about the tunnel, tunnel of light and so forth. And he talks about, you know, he died and went to heaven. And as he approached, you know, heaven, he saw the gate. He said, the gate. Well, the Bible talks about the gates. And he talks about the gate. And he said, I saw over here on the hill this bright light. And he said, I just believe that's where God was. And he said, as I made my way there, all at once I was back on earth. So he didn't get to see what was there. And you could all read about his story and so forth. And the another fellow here that from and the problem here is some people who are very notable people are writing these things. Here's a fellow from Harvard. He's a Harvard neurology. And he says, you know, that he fell in a coma 208. And during this time that he saw big fluffy clouds. And so, and some of them talk about, you know, that we're going to be floating around on clouds and all this stuff. He said he saw big fluffy clouds. And he said, all kinds. He said there was pink ones and white ones and so forth. And they were so beautiful as he looked upon these clouds and seen them, the background of blue and black sky and so forth. All kinds of things that are taking place. So we're going to talk this morning a little bit about what will heaven be like. And naturally, our scripture is from Revelation, book 21, chapter 21 and following. But, you know, thinking about heaven, and thinking about what heaven is and so forth, how many of you have at some time or another been away from home for a period of time and you're returning home? And the closer you closer you get to home, the more excited you get about it, you know, because you want to get there and because you know that regardless of what you've been doing, when you get home, you're going to be able to relax and you're going to rest a little better and so forth. And Maxine and I, when we were off on vacation or something, when we get home, we were always anxious to get home. I don't know, you know, you can be vacationing for a long time, but you're always anxious to get home, aren't you? And one of the things that we desire when we get home and so forth, And one of us will even mention, you know, boy, I'll be glad when we get home because we're going to have that bologna sandwich, you know. And you just don't get them everywhere. You got to have a bologna sandwich when you get home. And such. And then you get to sleep in your own bed. And so you get home with the anticipation you're going to be home and you're going to relax and rest. Well, that's what heaven's kind of like. Heaven's a little bit like that, you know, that the Bible talks about an eternal rest that we're going to have. He talks about our labor here and so forth and the rest. Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed be the dead which die in the Lord, for henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their work do follow them. So heaven, what it's going to be like? It's going to be a relaxing place, a resting place. Oh yeah, in the next week or so, we're going to be talking about what we're going to be doing there, and there's going to be things to do. But it's going to be a wonderful place. A beautiful place, a relaxing place, a resting place. We promise that. And the scriptures promises that. Maybe you have been planning a vacation. And you don't know really what you're going to see. And you've read about it. You've heard purple people tell you about it and so forth. And you're just excited about getting there. And you're anticipating what you're going to do when you get there. And what you're going to see and so forth. And you just can't wait to get there. And really, that's the way heaven is. We just get excited. We have read about it. We have heard about it. And we're just anxious to kind of to get there. And, you know, we're going to do whatever the Lord wants us to do here. But aren't you anxious to get to heaven to see some of the things that you've read about, what you've heard, been told about and so forth? It's a wonderful thing we're going to do. To get there. It's a beautiful place to consider and to think about. Let me ask you this. Are you really excited about heaven? Are you really excited about heaven? Do you have the same desire for heaven as you do vacationing in the Smoky Mountains or somewhere else in a great place in this United States? Do you have that desire? Maxine likes to watch these Property Brothers. I don't know how many of you watch them. Once in a while, I get a glimpse of them with Property Brothers, where they take these homes and they're all wrecks, you know, and all and such, and then they make them into something really beautiful. You know, it makes me think about life. Man has really wrecked this place, you know. God made heaven, made heaven and earth, and made earth to be a beautiful place for man to be and everything to have. But we've really made a wreck out of it, haven't we, you know. And it makes me think, you know, but heaven is that beautiful spot. The Lord has taken heaven, and he's going to take this wreck that we have made, and we're going to move out of this, and we're going to move into that beautiful place called heaven. Maybe sometimes, you know, you feel like your life has just a complete wreck. And the Lord has prepared a beautiful, wonderful place where all things are made new for you when you get there to heaven. I wonder if the Apostle Paul had that in mind when he said, 1 Corinthians 2:9, when he said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, or entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I know that has a lot of to do with this life. I believe that he was kind of considering this life. But I really believe in the back of his mind, Paul was probably thinking about heaven also. I know when I read that verse, when I think about that verse, I think about God has prepared good things for man here. Good things for those who love him. But yet he has provided something far better. You know, at the best, this life is really good. And at the best of this life, though, it doesn't compare to heaven at all. What is prepared. So, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard it, hasn't entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love him. And this isn't something that you hear people who has no indication of loving God. I believe you people love God. I believe you wouldn't be here. I don't believe you would be here if you didn't love God. And God has something very wonderful for you. In this life, he has a great plan. And he has a greater plan yet to come after this life. And so we look forward to that. Folks, as we consider the life that we live here and we try to visualize the eternal place called heaven, it ought to change the way we live here. And I think that's one of the problems that we have in today, that so many people have given up the thought about heaven and what heaven's going to be and so forth, and they've just let their lives just go. But I truly believe if we could get a grasp of what heaven is, if we give much thought about what heaven's going to be, it would change our perspective of life here. It would change our lives, period, here. Oh, if we could just conceive the beauty of heaven, it certainly ought to give us a better outlook of life here. We should not allow, you know, we shouldn't allow the view of our present world to dictate to us what our future world will be like, our future, our eternal home will be like. Rather, we should allow our thoughts of our eternal home to dictate the way we view things here. If we could just realize what all God has for us and the beauty of heaven, we could see much more beauty right here on earth and experience greater things here than we're experiencing now if we realize the mighty things that God has for us in the future. And we shall live in the presence of the Lord. That's going to be one of the greatest things there in heaven. It's a pure and perfect place. You know, to read about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and how the Garden of Eden was so pure, until sin entered in. And God made this place to be pure and good and holy and for mankind. And yet mankind learned that. Mankind brought a curse upon. And so heaven is a perfect place, a place where there'll be no sorrows, no sickness, and Pauline, there'll be no arthritis there. There'll be no joints out of place in the hips. There'll be no cancer. There'll be none of those things about no more open heart surgeries there at all. None of those things that bothers us here that we go through today here in this place. The scripture says God's going to wipe all this away. What's the scripture? He is going to make all things new there. What is heaven like? I can't really explain it. I believe the Lord wanted John, when he wrote the book of Revelations, when he come to the end of it, I believe he wanted the Lord wanted him to include in this wonderful book here. What he says about heaven. So that I believe he did so because he wanted us to know about the place so that we could be confident in our future. If he had not written about heaven, if we did not have knowledge of what God said about heaven and his word, we would have no hope and we not be confident. But I believe when John wrote this, even though that all the things are said up to this about heaven, it give us more confidence. Because John said, you know, he said, come up here. I want to show you. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But what will heaven be like, you know, compared heaven to, you know, I've heard people go and they've told me about been down to the Grand Canyon. And they've just went on and on about how awesome that is and so forth. Grand Canyon has nothing on heaven at all. The splendor of Grand Canyon and all those places that you might vacation just has a little tip of heaven on them. That's all. Heaven is going to be such a grand place. Nothing here on earth really compares to that. What will heaven be like? It'll be one of the best possible paradises. Your future will be filled with absolute delight. And when we talk about what we're going to do in the labor, it's going to be a delight to labor. You know, a lot of people today they talk about labor, and a lot of people get up in the morning or go to bed at night, and they tell, you know, we got to give up in the morning and go to work. When we get to heaven, the labor is going to be delightful. What you're going to have to do and what we'll be doing there will be delightful. There's a lot of things we have to do in this life that's not too delightful, isn't it? A lot of things we have to deal with and contend with. It's not too delightful, but everything in heaven is going to be a delight to be a part of that, to be that. What will heaven be like? Heaven will be the most wonderful, perfect place. Beyond measure, why would anyone not want to go there? Why would anyone not want to prepare to go to this place called heaven? What will heaven be like? Many people picture heaven, you know, as a never-ending church service in the sky. Oh, they think we will be angels and we'll float around on clouds and play harps all day long. Neither of these make eternity seem very pleasant to me, appealing to me, if that's all we're going to do. But it's more than that. Oh, we will be worshiping. And we will worship with the holy angels as we gather around the throne room of God. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, we'll be saying with the angels. Yeah, we'll worship, but that's not all we're going to be doing. The fact that heaven will be glorious and full of grandeur, a place where we'll experience fullness of joy. You know, I count life a joy. And I count being here today a wonderful joy. To be a part of this church family is a great joy to me. Lots of things in this life are great joys, but then there's some things that's not too joyful. To see little children suffer the things they suffer, to see elderly people suffer some of the things, that's not a joy to look upon those things. But it is a joy in life. But all things in heaven will be a joy. Be a great joy to be there. Full of grandeur, a place where we experience the fullness of joy, we will live in the presence of God. Somebody says, well, we're in the presence of God. Now, that's true. But God has given us so free will to do so many things, and we've really messed it up. Man has messed up life here on earth. Man cannot mess up life in heaven. And that's going to be one of the glorious things that we'll experience there. It will be a spectacular place. Listen to what John tells us when he tries to tell us what heaven is like. Bear with me. Chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And this is truth that we're reading. And he's faithful to his word. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We will be his children. But the faith, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and adulterers and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me out of the seven angels which had the seven veils and full of the seven last plagues and talked with me. This is one of John's telling this, and can you get a grip of what John here is feeling? Come hither, he says. Come hither. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's the church. That's you people and people like you. And he carried me away in the spirit in a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall graded high, and the 12 gates. This is what one of the guys saw, one gate, and there's 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, three gates, and on north, three gates, and on the south, three gates. Boy, there's not going to be any problem getting in. And on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates therein, and the wall therein. And the city layeth fourscore, and the length is large, and the breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, 15,000 miles in it, the length of the height, and the breadth, and of the equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of an angel. And the building of the wall, it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. I can't quite visualize that, but it's just something spectacular. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished in manner of precious stone. The first fountain was jasper, the second sapphire, the third of chalcedony, the fourth of an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardux, and the sixth sardonyx, I can't pronounce all of them, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth crystal Paris, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th, you ladies know all those pearls and so forth. You have those on your necklace oftentimes, and you can pronounce them. And when the 12 gates, there were 12 pearls, even seven gates were one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. They had those places where you go to some of the vacation spots, and you walk on glass walks and so forth, and you view the things that's under there. This is what a similarity there. And in verse 3, he says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb of the temple of it, or the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth bring the glory and honor to it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day or night therein. And there shall bring the glory and honor and the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it. Listen to this, folks. There shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. This curse came upon Eden. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and no need of a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And verse 6, the last one. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. He's saying, John, believe this. You can believe this. This is true. It's faithful. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto the servants the things which must shortly come to pass. What a grander, what a view, what a wonderful place he's trying to explain here. And John will go on and say, he did all this with the words that he could. In heaven, it's going to be a glorious place. It will be spectacular. Now, who in this group would be bored in a place like that? You know, someone says, you know, if you're just going to float around on clouds and play harps, you know, and worship, this is going to be a boring place. This is not going to be a boring place. It's going to be one of the most joyous places, stirring your heart and your mind continually. No one's going to be bored there. We're going to be spending eternity with God, with his angels, the Old Testament saints, and all the Christians throughout all the ages. Can you imagine the environment that you're going to be with every saint from beginning until end? How consider our fellowship here to be a wonderful thing. But in heaven, our fellowship is going to be much sweeter, much richer, you know. There'll be no misunderstandings. There'll be no more tensions among us, you know. There can be misunderstandings and things among people now, even those who fellowship so closely, but there will not be. In heaven, there will not be. Our relationships will be open and honest and interesting, loving and uncomplicated by sin and sin's nature, you know. Sometimes, you know, we even our closest friend will say something and we'll have to go out and say, did they really mean that? What did they mean to that? Why did she or he say that? There's not going to be anything that in heaven. Everything's going to be have a relationship that's going to be honest, interesting, loving, and uncomplicated. We'll be together in heaven. Imagine the best friends we'll have. You know, we're going to have friends with people we read here out of the Bible from the very beginning of Genesis on through. We'll be meeting and caring and associating with people there, friends that we're going to meet that we've read about, Jacob and Joseph and Abraham. I'll be glad to meet them. And imagine having time to walk with Noah all the time that you want to walk with Jonah and Noah and talk to them about the things that they did and the things that took place. And I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm kind of looking forward to this, probably to be entertained by little Zacchaeus. Or maybe by Bildad the Shuhite. It's going to be a fun time gathered around and listen to them. Heaven's going to be such an incredible time and unlimited fellowship. Think about that. With people who have lived in all the ages. I can't begin to comprehend it. But I know it's true. The Lord Jesus has gave us a glimpse that, you know, Jesus, when he appeared there on the Mount of Transfiguration, I can't get Fisher out of my mind. Transfiguration there with Moses and Elijah, and he showed us a little bit of beauty of heaven, the glory, and the fellowship, you know. And so we're going to fellowship with those people like he fellowshipped there with Moses and Elijah. What an amazing thing it's going to be. The amazing conversations that you're going to be able to have throughout eternity with all the folks. Heaven is a real beauty. What will heaven be? Here's the real beauty of heaven as we come to close. Here is the real beauty of heaven. As we sit there, I think two or three times in that scripture that we just went through. The real beauty of heaven will be dwelling with God. To be down, bow down before Jesus. I love that song. I can't really remember the complete title of it. Anyhow, it has, you know, what will I do? Will I speak or will I be speechless? Will I bow before Jesus? You know, I can only imagine. You know, that's the song, you know. And so when I think about heaven, you can read about what John says, and he tries so hard. And you can read about all the things in the scripture and so forth and about heaven. But I can only imagine. But the most grand thing is we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God. You know, it must have been a very wonderful thing for Adam and Eve when God came down. It says God, in the cool of the evening, God came down and walked with Adam and talked with Adam. Think about that. We are going to dwell with God. The scripture says he will dwell with them and they will be his people. His people. And he will be their God and he'll wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There will be no thing hinder us. All things will be made new. Little girl, she's blind. She's 10 years old. She's been blind from birth. The only thing that she could visualize or see or have any thought of beauty was what her mother told her. Her mother would tell her about the flowers blooming in the spring. She would tell him about the sunshine in the summer and the snow and the trees of winter. And so this 10-year-old girl, she only thing she could do is try to visualize the beauty of that. So there came a doctor who said, I have a new solution, and I'd like to try this. And so they did, and so she had this operation in her eyes, and she was in bandage for weeks. And it come the time for truth to take the bandages off. And that morning as they took the bandages off, and this 10-year-old girl ran to the window and looked out and said, Oh, Mother, why didn't you tell me how beautiful it is? And her mother says, I tried to, and I used all the words I could to tell you how beautiful it was. That's what John just did. John wrote, and he saw, and he was told, and he wanted to tell, and I believe God had John write that. He wanted you to know. And John used every word. You know, probably when you get to heaven, and you see the glory of it and the beauty of it, and you come to John, you're going to say, John, why didn't you tell us? And John's going to say, I tried with every word I could find to tell you how glorious heaven's going to be. And even the words I used wasn't enough. And I couldn't think of words that would express enough. And if John couldn't express the full extent of the glories of heaven, why would an uneducated preacher try to tell a group like you what heaven's like? But believe me, with the words that I used, it's going to be so glorious. It's going to be above your imagination. Why wouldn't anybody want to go there? God has prepared that place. He prepared a place for Adam, a paradise, so to speak. And he has prepared for those who love him a paradise, a glorious place. And as we think on that, as we think through our day, I would hope there's never a day go by that you don't think about heaven. And I hope that you keep heaven in front of you. I hope that's in your view. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. And as you walk toward it, it will make this life so much better. People who believe in heaven are healthier. People who believe and know they're going to heaven will live stronger, healthier, happier lives. The greatest fact about heaven is this. The greatest fact about heaven is this. You can go there. We can go there. God has made it possible. There's only one thing that will keep you out of heaven. That's your sin. Your sin. And Jesus has opened the door for that. He's made it possible that you could get rid of your sins and be able and be ready to enter into that glorious place called heaven. If you haven't prepared, we want to encourage you to come and prepare for that glorious place that's prepared for you, which I cannot explain, because it's glorious. Let's start with that. Life is good. But you have prepared for man something greater.